Good morning, everyone. I'm R.W. Estella with a word in Edgewise. Today is the 11th of November, the 316th day of 2024, with a mere 50 days remaining on our way to 2025. Originally known as Armistice Day, when at the 11th hour on the 11th day of the 11th month of 1918, the armistice with Germany went into effect, today has been known in the United States as Veterans Day since 1954. My maternal grandmother was born today back in 1902 and became the veteran of two wars, living through them in Germany as a teenager in World War I and as a middle-aged mother of my mother during World War II. A farm girl from Germany's West Woods, or Westerwald, my grandmother had many talents, and her emigration to the United States in the 1950s went smoothly, with her immediately becoming a lead seamstress for J.C. Penney in Denver, Colorado, where I was being raised. My father, the Corsican Basque, had seen action in the U.S. Army at the tail end of World War II, during the Korean War and the Vietnam War. As a three-war veteran, he was reticent to talk of his experiences. Much prodding was needed. He was not big on reunions. His investment in the military was largely a practical one, bartering his service to Uncle Sam for subsidized opportunities to advance his professional goals of becoming a microbiologist. A fair trade as he saw it, though the hazards were many. This past week was an interesting one for those of us who marvel at the mysteries of human interaction, of knowing that real honesty is a tough commodity to access. According to this past Friday's Bangor Daily News poll from the day before, 32% of 241 respondents said they were surprised by the results of the 2024 presidential election, leaving 68% saying they were not surprised. Aside from the vagaries of polls in general, we can roughly break down that small example into halves. Half of those voting for Harris were surprised, and half of those voting for Trump were surprised. The important fraction there is one half, which puts us in the realm of maybe yes or maybe no, 50-50 odds, comme ci, comme ça. Written more than 150 years ago, Friedrich Nietzsche's essay On Truth and Lies in an Extramoral Sense still speaks to us. We are the servants of language and therefore will spend time lying to each other, spend more time lying to each other than speaking truth. Such are our social customs, and this makes the effective evolution of human consciousness a most glacial thing. I am a first-generation American, the first of my old world lineage to be born in this country. My parents and grandparents were immigrants, and they were building this country while I was yet a child. Now people lie to one another about immigrants, arriving at notions that soon become gospel. Consider Gary Soto's poem, Mexicans Begin Jogging. At the factory I worked in the fleck of rubber, under the press of an oven yellow with flame, until the border patrol opened their vans and my boss waved for us to run. Over the fence, Soto, he shouted, and I shouted that I was an American. No time for lies, he said, and pressed a dollar in my palm, hurrying me through the back door. Since I was on his time, I ran and became the wag to a short tale of Americans, of Mexicans. Ran past the amazed crowds that lined the street and blurred like photographs in rain. I ran from that industrial road to the soft houses where people paled at the turn of an autumn sky. What could I do but yell vivas to baseball, milkshakes, and those sociologists who would clock me as I jog into the next century on the power of a great, silly grin. Heavenward on this Thursday, our moon will be at perigee, closest to us at 223,761 miles away in its elliptical orbit about Earth. And Friday we'll have the Super Beaver Moon, also known as the Digging and Scratching Moon, the Deer Rutting Moon, the Whitefish Moon, the Frost Moon, and the Freezing Moon, sharing the eastern sky at midnight with the Pleiades star cluster, the bright orange star Aldebaran, and the bright planet Jupiter. Today in 1865, American physician Mary Walker, for her work as a surgeon during the Civil War, became the first woman to be granted the U.S. Medal of Honor. And today in 1992, the Church of England voted to ordain women as priests. Today in 1925 in Dayton, Ohio, Jonathan Winters was born to radio actress Alice Rogers and insurance agent Jonathan Winters II, who divorced when young Jonathan was 7 years old. Jonathan was already a comedian in the classroom and had a talent for drawing, which eventually would lead him to enter the Dayton Art Institute. But before that, he dropped out of high school, joined the U.S. Marine Corps, served 2.5 years in the Pacific Theater during World War II, and upon returning stateside, began attending Kenyon College. He married in 1949 and 7 months later lost his wristwatch, which he couldn't afford to replace. So his wife Eileen suggested he enter a talent contest, offering a wristwatch as a first prize. His winning performance led to a disc jockey job, and eventually his ad-lib antics took over the show. Soon he was on his way to New York for an audition as Johnny Winters at CBS, along with entertainment gigs at New York's Blue Angel and appearances on Steve Allen's and Jack Parr's TV shows. The pressures of his success, however, led to a nervous breakdown and 8 months in a sanatorium, after which Winters observed, "People ask, how do you feel? I always say, well, I'm out. A very normal person says, but I don't understand. Well, you'd have to be in to understand that." Once out of the sanatorium, Jonathan developed an alcohol problem and was helped to some extent by his membership in Alcoholics Anonymous. He renewed his celebrity by starring in Stanley Kramer's 1963 It's a Mad, 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 Mad World, 1965's The Loved One, and numerous television appearances. Today is also the birthday in 1484 of Spanish friar and social historian Bartolomé de las Casas, in 1821 of Russian writer Fyodor Dostoevsky, in 1872 of American actress Maude Adams, in 1885 of American General George Patton, in 1894 of British actress Winifred Kingston, in 1895 of African-American sculptor Beulah Woodard, in 1898 of French film director René Clair, in 1899 of American actor Pat O'Brien, in 1909 of American actor Robert Ryan, in 1914 of American civil rights activist and publisher Daisy Bates, in 1918 of American singer Louise Torbin, in 1922 of American writer Kurt Vonnegut, in 1925 of American comedian Jonathan Winters and of English comedienne June Whitfield, in 1927 of American jazz and blues musician Mose Allison, in 1928 of Mexican writer Carlos Fuentes and of American jazz singer Ernestine Anderson, in 1929 of American blues singer Laverne Baker, in 1932 of American jazz drummer Al Levitt, in 1933 of American jazz vocalist Marlena Verplank, in 1940 of American politician Barbara Boxer, in 1945 of British rock guitarist Chris Dreja, and of American rock guitarist Vince Martell, in 1960 of American actor Stanley Tucci, in 1962 of American actress Demi Moore, in 1964 of Spanish actress Annabelle Alonso, and of American actress Calista Flockhart, and in 1974 of American actor Leonardo DiCaprio. From Orono, Maine, I'm R.W. Estella with a word in edgewise. Here's to the 8th full week of autumn, to the 46th week of 2024, and to a good Veterans Day.